Blog Talk Radio.
Almighty Yahweh promises to gather everyone he scatters. I am a Hebrew. We are Hebrews.
Born in Tennessee.
I am a Hebrew, born in Arkansas.
I am a Hebrew, I was born in Texas.
I am a Hebrew, and I am from Florida.
I'm a Hebrew, and I was born in California.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in San Diego, California.
I'm a Hebrew, I was born in Indiana.
I'm a chosen generation, a royal priesthood.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Spain.
私は Hebrew で、日本で生まれました。
Soy hebrea, nací en Puerto Rico.
I am a Hebrew from West Africa, Liberia.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Straight Lane.
We are Hebrews.
Hello, my sister.
Hallelujah. Shalom, shalom. Sister Ashley here with another show. Sister to sister, bless y'all. Thank you for tuning in tonight. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your time. Hallelujah. I am the wife of Deacon Bell and the daughter to your pastor. Hallelujah. He's got a big family, many daughters. But I'm glad to be before you again and again, and hopefully it'll be a great show for you guys. We'll see how it works out. Sister Jennifer's there in Georgia. Let's get a sound check.
Yes, ma'am. Sister Ashley, I am here in Georgia. Blessings to you and blessings to you all, daughters of Zion. This is Sister Jennifer with Straightway Georgia. I am the wife of Elder Rufus, and it is an honor and a pleasure for me to be here with you tonight for another episode of Sister to Sister, and I pray that everyone can hear me. I pray I'm coming in clear, and if not, please make it known in the chat room, and we can do what we have to do on our end, but it looks like we're good to go, Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. To the Most High, yeah, I'm grateful. I'm so grateful, Jennifer, and I know you are, that he has allowed us to see ourselves now before we see him, before we hug him, you know, the depths of our own hearts and our wickedness, the abilities or inabilities that we have to endure so that we may grow. And through faintness and through weariness, the strength that he gives each of our vessels, I glorify his holy name. And I am, I'm just in awe at his representation on earth of power, of righteousness, of covenant, of relationship, of fruit, etc. His hand in the lives of so few of us, I'm very, very thankful for, you know, Deacon, whose first love is Christ. And Deacon's representation of love towards the Father in my life is exactly like we as brides to Christ should be. So he has submitted to the leadership here without question. There's never been a complaint in him, not one, or a question of why pastor has done this or said that, or why he's preaching this and why he ain't preaching that. No doctrinal differences. He's just a humble strength in my life, and he does rule my life. He is not swayed by me, and he rules his home very well. To my very few polygynist examples, thank you. Thank you for showing that it can be done and that it can be done right. I bless each of you. Praise land, your Elohim is pleased. Hallelujah. Let his presence go with you. May his presence always go with you. Thank you in advance for the commitments that the communities and all the individuals that are committed to helping, serving, giving, or even cooking for us as the feast approaches. To my overseas listeners, you're never forgotten. And lastly, to my Mother Muncie, you are always missed. Bless y'all again and again for every show that you tune into. If you're a faithful follower, a subscriber, a visitor, an offlander, as we say it, whoever you may be, thank you so much. Thank you for your dedication to the Father and your submission to your husband. I bless y'all in the victorious name of Jesus, and I give it over to you, Jennifer.
Hallelujah, Sister Ashley. First and foremost, I just want to acknowledge the Most High Yah for being my keeper, my healer, my comforter, and for just showing me who I am in him and continually keeping my mind sound. I'm so thankful for his spirit that dwells in me and his peace that brings, you know, just his peace that abides in my heart, even in the midst of a society of people who live in such fear. You know, it's so assuring to know that we are truly taken care of and that we have true safety in him. And I want to acknowledge my head, Elder Rufus, for his righteous example that he sets for his family, a man of great discernment, a man of great wisdom. You know, I'm so grateful for the example that I have in him to see his relationship with the Father and the obedience, you know, as it relates to a woman and her master. And it's something so foreign to the society that we as women have been raised in. And finally, I just want to acknowledge Pastor Dow for his continued labor of love that is shown to Yah's people for being a true Jeremiah 3:15 pastor, according to Yahweh's heart, you know, for showing us the true heart of Yah and for giving us an example to follow in being obedient to the Father. You know, as women, it means so much to finally have a place where we're protected and where we're loved, where we're secure, and where we can unlearn all the contrary ways that we've picked up for so long. And we can do that unlearning in such a safe environment called Straightway. And that's all I have.
All right, so thank you to those who are sending in your Be a Blessings. We've started to get things and stash things for use. If you know what you are sending, what you're buying, what you're ordering, please call the dining hall. if you do that, that ensures that we keep a count of what we receive so that we can tell you publicly that we may or may not need any more of one item. Usually things will get crossed off the list, and then something will become a priority that we don't have anything of or we have very few of. So please send that information only through the phone. Sometimes it can come through email or different things, communications, but it is best to call the dining hall to leave that information. I have the address, Sister Jennifer, for the Jacksonville, Florida event. Should I give that on air?
Yes, ma'am. Sister Ashley, go ahead. Pastor gave it on air, so it's okay to follow suit. Yes, ma'am.
All right. So Jax, is that J-A-X, right, Chef?
Yes, ma'am.
Jax Beach. And she'll probably type it in, too. Jax, J-A-X Beach Exhibition Hall. All right, so it's in an exhibition hall. Pastor Dow is going to be in Jacksonville, Florida. So 2508 South Beach Parkway, Jacksonville, Florida, 32250. All right, call us if you think you want to come or if you are trying to get there, just so we can kind of have a head count. We got a little notepad right beside of our phone, and we write down anybody who knows they're coming. So do you have to call? No, but it is nice to keep our eyes open for you when we get there. What else? So, yes, we'll have a store. We will have the store open for all natural, herbal, or Carel products. It'll be open at the feast. So stay tuned for more of that. We have a products video I mentioned last week. So be patient with us. We're throwing that together. And we're going to get it to you so you can see some of the things that you may be able to get. Jordan and I did that. So 11 a.m. Eastern in Jacksonville, Florida, at the Jackson Beach Exhibition Hall. It's going to be 11 a.m. Eastern. That's Pastor's time to be there to talk to each of you or whoever's in front of him. That's 10 a.m. Central Standard Time. Hallelujah. So we'll still have a service here, and we'll be here live. If you are not in Jacksonville. What else? Let's see. What you got, Jennifer?
Just make sure you stay current with all the videos that our shepherd's been putting out. He's been putting out a lot of good information. Make sure you stay current with the Be a Blessing list, like Sister Ashley said. There are certain items that are needed and certain items that will be priority. So just make sure you stay tuned into Pastor Dow's YouTube channel, to the Straightway related YouTube channel, so that you can stay in the loop and you're not left out. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. I have two phone calls already. I'm not going to answer them immediately. So I'm just going to say area code 682 and area code 210. If you intentionally press 1, I now see you in a caller queue that I can answer your phone call. So I will get to you, area code 682 and 210. If it was an accident, maybe you should hang up, try to call back in. Don't press 1 unless you want to talk to us, because I will be pulling you up a little bit later. We're going to go to some emails. Not many. What, maybe 2 emails? Let's see. Jennifer, you go first.
Okay. Let's see here. All right. This email actually came in today. I believe it was today or yesterday, and I thought it would be good for us to read it. So this sister says that she's from the D.C., Maryland, Virginia area, and she fellowships with those saints there. And her master gave her permission to send the email. She said, my master's family met Elder Rufus and his family last July at the D.C. meeting. We got a chance to fellowship with the saints at Sister Alex's house after the meeting. I got a chance to talk with Sister Jennifer. And in our conversation, she asked me how we came to know about Straightway Truth Ministries. I told her that my master found Pastor's YouTube videos in 2011. We would listen to Pastor's videos on Sabbath. Later, we started fellowshipping with another group in Baltimore for some time, still listening to Pastor's videos. At the end of 2018, my master's daughter started having several health issues. My master called into Pastor's radio blog talk and was instructed to meet Elder Rufus at the D.C., Maryland, Virginia meeting. I thank my master for letting his family attend such a great event. All praises to the Most High. During that meeting, my master got information from Brother Cool James and Brother Rob so that we could attend the home fellowship during Sabbath. Since that time, my master's household have been growing and striving to be ready for the kingdom to come. Also, my master's daughter has received healing from some of her health issues. Glory to the King. My master and I have also been healed from our health issues. Glory to the King. We have all faith in Yah that my master's daughter has been completely healed, and in time we will see her restored to better health again. My master's daughter and I have changed our diet and are exercising more. I thank Yah, I thank my master, and thank all of Straightway for all the hard work that has been accomplished. I'm learning so much from my master, from Pastor's radio broadcast, the sister-to-sister broadcast, Sabbath services, the home fellowship, and the many videos from many of the Straightway saints. May Yah's blessing continue to be bestowed on all of Straightway. I don't want to take up too much of your time. I know everyone is very busy. Be the Father's will. My master's household will be fellowshipping with Elder Rufus and his household next week. Also, my master's family will be attending Passover. I look forward to meeting all the sisters in person. I can't say thank you enough. Hallelujah. From your sister. Hallelujah. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. I want to hear your thoughts first. It's a very, very good letter, and it is all, like she said, all glory to our King. Talk to me, Jennifer.
You know, the thing that really sticks out about this letter, Sister Ashley, is in meeting this sister back in 2018, so we're talking almost 2 years ago, she has followed everything that's been preached from the pulpit, everything that's been preached from our shepherd. You know, she's followed everything. She's been in the background learning. She's not done a bunch of lip service and you know, just talking and not doing. No, she's been learning and doing in silence, and it really is manifesting itself in their lives. So it's really encouraging to hear letters like this, people who are just kind of in the background, but they're following through their actions, you know, not just a bunch of talk, but they're actually doing it. Sister Ashley? I think you got us muted, Sister Ashley.
Yep. Yes, you are correct. I was talking to air. So the Most High Yah says, all day long I stretch out my hands to gainsaying people. What's so interesting to me is that from I'm going to use this as an example, my sister, because I'm so greatly encouraged by your testimony. This is not this is just an example. This will reach out to other people. So from 2011 to 2018, the Most High Yah kept his hand out, and he's deserving of so much for that time period, because, you know, you still had the ears to follow, you still had the eyes that wanted to watch, you still wanted to pay attention to Pastor Dow, and some never make it, you know, some never make the attempt to follow this way. I think it's beautiful that he showed his fruit in your change and transformation and your commitment to this this ministry, because of your health turning around, which had not happened prior to your commitment here. So praise Yah for your master, absolutely. And do we have to call our husbands master? You know, we get this question a lot. No, but what if you had to call him hot chocolate? Seriously, what if you got to call him, you know, whatever he says call him, you need to be able to do that. So you're going to hear terms, my sisters, that are unfamiliar to your ears, Isha, Master, and if there's a spirit in you that doesn't want to hear it, it's because you don't want to do it, and you need to deal with your heart. We're not saying everyone has to run around calling anybody anything. That's what we get accused of, when in actuality, we just move in one mind and one spirit, and we're all in agreement with whatever our husbands would desire us to call them. Okay, so That was kind of off topic a little bit, huh? Let's go to the next letter. Any thoughts while I jump to the other one, Sister Jennifer?
Actually, Sister Ashley, very good thoughts. I like you said, you know, there's so many people that follow from afar for so long, and they fall off. But it is amazing that, you know, when you have someone who truly understands the heart of Yah, and they follow, and they stay with you. You know, when people fall away, the word says that they were never even with us, you know, so they're not even of us when they fall away. So it really is encouraging to have people who have been following from 2011, and like you said, the fruit is actually manifesting in their lives. Sister Ashley.
That's beautiful, beautiful. So, all right, I got one that says, Shalom, Sister Ashley and Sister Jennifer. I pray you are both blessed and doing well. Yah has led me to share this testimony, and I would like to share it with all the sisters who listen to your broadcast. I'm going to call in and share it. I was going to call in and share it, but just decided against it for two reasons. One, I put in an opinion at the end of my testimony that I would feel more comfortable if you could read over it first to make sure it's proper. And secondly, with Passover coming up, I feel like it would be best left in your capable hands to share it when you feel that the timing is right. The testimony I shared below came about a few months, y'all listen, a few months after Passover last year. I prepared for the festival last year by asking Yah to reveal the wickedness he abhorred in me that I was blinded to. And within months, I was manifesting certain spirits, which created an intolerable living situation in my husband's house. This is the outcome of that prayer from last Passover. I would also like to give my heartfelt gratitude and thanks to you, Sister Jennifer, for the guidance and counsel you have given me last year. Blessings and love to you both. She states her name and who she belongs to, the possession of her husband. So I'm going to read her testimony now, but I thought it was interesting how it came to the feast a certain way, left, and then throughout season in between Passover and the next feast, many things were revealed to her, which is exactly how we are to function as his children. We're supposed to continually see ourselves. Hold on, let me write something down. Don't want to forget it later. All right, here goes. This past summer, I began repenting for iniquities that had not only begun manifesting themselves in my body, but were also responsible for a breakdown in my relationship with my head. Now, the head of every woman is man. My sisters that are listening that might be new. So she is referring to the breakdown in her relationship with her head, her husband. I was manifesting anger and resentment, raising my voice, talking back, holding on to past hurts, pointing fingers. There was a lack of trust I had in my husband. I was a mess. It seemed like I was powerless to control myself. I was the foolish woman that we read about in Proverbs that was tearing down her house. And I knew what I was doing was wrong, but I just couldn't seem to help myself. Now, there came a point where my husband ran out of patience and long-suffering with me. He told me that I needed to get my act together and figure my problems out. He was not willing to go on with me acting the way that I was, and I agreed with him. I was sick of myself and sick of the hurt that I was causing my family, and I realized that I had become a weapon that Satan was using against my husband, so I did the only thing that I could do. I cried out to Yah. I begged him to help me. And I was tired of myself. I was tired of hurting. I was tired of being hurt and sick of being a fool. I asked him to help me with my repentance and to walk me through it. And I knew that I had to be blinded to myself in some way and that I didn't see the whole picture like he did. So the first thing the Spirit urged me to do was to apologize to my husband and to seek his instruction of how to proceed. Now, my husband told me to contact Sister Jennifer and follow what she said, so I did that, and I told her what I was dealing with, and I made every effort to make sure that she knew the reality of the situation that I had created. I didn't want to hide anything from her, and from our conversation, Sister Jennifer was able to pinpoint exactly where I needed to start with my repentance, and once that had been accomplished, she told me what spirits I needed to seek deliverance from, in order to restore the damage I had caused in my covenant with my husband. And she also told me what I ought to be praying to the Most High for in order to restore my husband's trust in him. As a side note, I'd like to advise any sister that's going for counsel to our wiser and experienced sisters and mothers that you do exactly what they tell you to do and that you do it as expediently as possible. But when we take up their time with our problems and then turn around and ignore or not do what they have instructed, it is not only foolish and dishonorable, but it's selfish. Essentially, what you have done is stolen and wasted their time, time that could have been better spent on a sister that's actually interested in being obedient and bettering herself. And these wise and experienced women ought to be looked at and treated like precious and limited resources in our lives. To continue, I then began the process of repenting, and it took time. It was hard. It was so emotionally painful at times that it became physically painful. I'm going to read that sentence one more time, my sisters, because some of your physical pain is because of your emotions. It was so emotionally painful at times that it became physically painful. Y'all remember that correlation between your mind and your body. Remember that. And between pain and pain. Crying so hard that your throat ached and hurt. For a while, it seemed as if I was losing the battle. I suffered a lot of failures. It seemed like every time I turned around, a situation would arise and I would lose control and I would manifest spirits and bring shame upon myself again. Now, in hindsight, however, I don't see this as failures at all. Yah was just walking through my repentance with me. He was making sure that I saw my wickedness in this area from every possible angle, and he was making sure that nothing was hid from my husband or myself. Each failure and manifestation was actually an opportunity. After I had a setback, I would go and meditate on what had happened. I would ask myself all kinds of questions, and then I would search myself until I had answers to those questions. Questions like, what just happened? Why did it happen? What did I do? Why did I do that? Then I would ask myself other questions about how my actions were affecting others, like my husband, my children, my brothers and sisters. This led me to develop a sympathy for others and helped greatly in my repentance. I also tried to distance myself and look at it from an outside point of view. What would I have thought if I had seen someone else speak and act like that? What would I have said to them? All right, so this self-reflection that she has, this self-reproof that she has going on is absolutely imperative for your character, all of us, or there'll be no improvement in any of us. If the Most High Yah, I'm pausing her letter for a second, if the Most High Yah says that he judges the very thought and the intention of the heart, it is imperative, which means has to happen. You have to become in his image, in his likeness, a judger of your thoughts and your intentions. You must, in order for growth to happen. Okay, let's go back to her letter. All during this time, I was still praying to Yah to keep walking out my repentance with me and to show me what he saw when I was manifesting these spirits. There came a point where I felt like I had exercised my due diligence in my repentance and was ready to seek deliverance. I then followed the rest of Sister Jennifer's instructions to me, and I went to trusted and able brothers and sisters to help me get free. Now, after the deliverance was over and I was set free, they commented that it went quickly. And here I am 9 months later, and I'm still holding my deliverance. The trust that my husband lost in me has been restored. I'm not tearing my house down anymore. I'm no longer a bad example to my daughters and sons. So much hard work, sorrow, pain, and effort went into getting free. And I can honestly say that I'd rather crawl over broken glass or walk over hot coals than return to those wicked behaviors. Yah has been leading me to the following scripture a lot lately, and I want to share it. Romans 2:1-4. You therefore have no excuse, you who pass judgment on someone else. For whatsoever point you judge another, you're condemning yourself, because you who pass judgment do the same thing. Now we know that God's judgment against those who do such things is based on truth. So when you, a mere human being, pass judgment on them, but yet do the same thing, do you think you'll escape God's judgment? Or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, forbearance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance? I like that version. All right, so let's wrap it up here. It says the last sentence has really been on my mind lately. That's what she meant, intended to lead you to repentance. Okay, so a lot of the trouble we encounter, and she put opinion, a lot of the trouble we encounter in our lives comes when we try to act independently of Yah. If we lean to our own understanding, we fall short. Relying upon our own strength, we fall short. Maybe the reason why some people repent and then turn back to their bad behavior and wickedness is because they are putting forth their idea of what their repentance should be. They aren't asking Yah to lead their repentance and walk it out with them. When Yah does this for you and with you, you can be sure that it will be both complete and thorough. He will walk you through the perfect amount of labor and pain so that when you come through the fire, you don't value your repentance of the blood of Jesus so cheaply as to make it worthless. And I'd like to finish by thanking and praising my Savior and Creator. He is faithful and trustworthy, and He always does what He says He'll do. His word is true. He blesses us for our obedience. And it truly is goodness on His part to not only lead us to repentance, but to walk it out with us and guide us through our weakness and our helplessness. I really would like to urge everyone to lean on Yah more and to trust Him enough to do for us what He knows is right for us. Good letter. Jennifer?
Very, very good letter, Sister Ashley. And, you know, the thing that really stands out to me is this particular sister, we had one conversation, actually two conversations. The second conversation was very short, but the first conversation, she paid attention. She retained everything that we spoke about. And you can tell that she has a true relationship with the Father, because she didn't have to keep coming back and asking me, okay, well, what did you say again? And why do I have to do this? There were no questions. She truly went to the Father, and the Father led her in everything that she had to do, and she did it. And that is what is so encouraging about this particular sister, this letter. She has truly shown the fruit of repentance. You know, she truly has a relationship with Yah. And this is a woman that will actually be able to go and strengthen her sisters. And we need more women like this. This is a very good letter. Sister Ashley?
Very good letter. Let's go to a phone call. Area code 682 from Texas. You're still there. I'm going to you. Area code 682, you're live on Sister to Sister. Shalom.
Shalom, shalom. How are you?
I'm really well. Good to hear from you. Who are you, my sister?
Okay, I'm calling to make myself known. My name is LaShonda. I'm calling from Texas.
Hi, LaShonda from Texas. Talk to us.
Okay. Okay. I'm kind of nervous. I'm sorry.
Okay. You're all right. Take your time.
Okay. Well, first of all, I have been totally blessed by your videos, by listening. I've been listening for a while. I just haven't said anything. Very thankful, because the information, the advice, the content, everything has been on point, because I know myself as well as other sisters who have gone through things or didn't have anyone to talk to, didn't know anyone to turn to, and all of a sudden I've come across Block Talk and I'm okay now. I feel like, wow, there's some women out there who I can actually listen and learn from, who know what I've gone through, or et cetera, in that fashion. And I just want to say thank you. And I also follow Straightway Airs for my children. So they watch Straightway Airs and they see other children. And I just wanted to say thank you. And that's it. Shalom. Thank you.
Oh, Sister LaShonda, thank you so much for your time and your commitment to following the Most High Yah. Through listening to the ministry, of course, our show, our airs, it is worth it. It has eternal dividends for you. Thank you for setting yourself apart from the world and obeying His voice and His calling. My sister, I encourage you to continue to do that. Continue to call in or email us if you need us. Welcome to the flock and the fold. Jennifer?
Bless you, my sister, and thank you so much for overcoming and for calling in and making yourself known. We really like to hear the voices of the people that are listening and those that we're interacting with. It really is nice to hear from you all. So thank you so much for calling in and just following and being obedient to the Most High, yeah. Sister Ashley?
Thank you. You have a good night.
Hallelujah. You too. Great call. Thank you so much. All right. Let's go to a testimony. Here we go. Last one from the inbox. We got mail, as Sasha says, we got mail. Last one. This sister had left a really awesome testimony on our app, our sister's group. Some of us are connected with each other through an app on our phones. And she left a really awesome testimony. I almost missed it. Diane forwarded to me, so I was so thankful to get a chance to check it out, because then Jennifer turned around and asked her to, hey, send that in to us, you know, write it down in an email form so that we can read it when there's time for it, you know, when there's a perfect time. So we didn't know when a perfect time would be for her to be able to call. Can't always, you know, don't always know the directions our shows are going to go, but this seems like an awesome week to be able to read it. So check out this testimony. And the video was even more, like, to me, the video was even better because she didn't, you know, she didn't have to type. She was just freely speaking. And it's just beautiful either way. So if y'all haven't heard the video, this is gonna be wonderful for you all. You want to introduce it any other way, Jennifer?
You know, Sister Ashley, I think you've covered it all. Let me just say, you know, this is a sister who has not been in the faith very long. And so when you hear this letter, you're going to think, okay, this is a sister that's been around for about 10, 15 years, but she's really not been around very long at all. But she's listened, and she is a doer. And so, you know, that is what really strikes me about these letters that we're reading tonight, is that these people are actually doing it, and the Father is giving them the fruit. So just listen, because this is a newer sister, but this letter is so exciting. So, okay, Sister Ashley, I'm going to let you get to it.
Good job, good job. Everybody's on the edge of their seat now. Good job. So this testimony, this is her words, okay? This testimony is so good. It shows the power, justice, and grace of our Yah. So on 12/25, that's December 25th, I went to work and had a PT with an early discharge. Now, somebody who's a nurse, tell me what a PT is. Patient, maybe? Jennifer, patient?
It is a patient.
Awesome. See? Good job. Okay. Everybody who's a nurse is like, really, Ashley? All right. So I went to work and had a PT, a patient, with an early discharge. He was called late on 12/24 in the middle of the night with a doctor stating that he had positive blood cultures, and it turns out it was a false positive. And nothing was wrong with him other than a 24-hour virus that he was not having any symptoms with by the time he was called back in. So I go into his room. I explain to him that he is completely fine and that he was able to go home. While doing his assessment, we were talking about his family, and he mentioned that he was from New Hampshire. I asked, what did he do there before moving to Tennessee? And he said he was an EMT and a clairvoyant. I asked him what he meant by that. He said, you know, I can see in the future. So God gave me the ability to see things in the future. And I responded with, well, that's not from God. And the man went on to say that he uses tarot cards, but he doesn't practice much anymore. But he said, every now and then, whenever my granddaughter needs to know something, I will tell her. And I again said, tarot cards and everything you are telling me is not from God. You need to be careful who you think you're listening to. And he said, yes, it is. I burned the tarot cards, but I watch 7 hours of church services online some days. And sometimes when I am asleep at night, I hear God wake me up. He'll say, hey. And if I ignore it, then he gets louder until I'm fully awake. And again, I said, that's not from God, but okay. I'll be back soon to discharge you, so you can go home. Now, before I walked out of the room, I asked him if he needed anything, and he said no. But he gave me a funny look, and I said, are you sure you don't need anything? And he said, no, but are you pregnant? And I said, no. Not that I know of. Why? And he said, well, then there's something wrong with your belly. Now, here's her. She said, there's nothing wrong with my belly. The only thing that was ever wrong with my stomach was that I had my son, I was induced with my son and had a C-section, but I've been healed and forgiven for that. Now, he says, well, maybe not now, but in the future there could be. Now, he's talking about there's going to be something wrong with your belly in the future, right? So she's like, no, there isn't. I'll be back soon. So I walk out of the room and immediately go to the shower area, and I start rebuking that curse in Yah's name, sending it all back to him, and put up a shield of protection around me. And I call my dad, and I told him what happened. Now, her dad is a very instrumental, loved, and faithful brother in the ministry. So she says, I tell him what happened, asking him and all the other saints that were at the house visiting that week to pray for me and send that back to that guy as well. So I go get his discharge papers together, and right before I walk back into the patient's room, my dad called me. He told me, go in there and rebuke the guy to his face. Now, I'm iffy at first, but I agree. So at work, I'm so forward when it comes to standing up to patients who try to bully me or who are drug seekers. But in that moment, I felt apprehensive because this was new territory for me. As soon as I hung up the phone, I hear Yah say, I did not make you to be weak. I made you to be bold. And then I thought, look at that example Dad has been this past year. His word bold. He has walked it out perfectly. So then I get pumped up. I'm thinking, yeah, you're right. Okay, let's do this. So I walk into the patient's room. I close the door behind me. And this is the conversation we had. Me. She says me and she says him. Okay, so I'm going to read it each time so you know who's talking. Me. So you said your piece about what you believe now, and I'm going to say mine to your face. Him. Okay, I won't be offended. Me. I don't care if you are or not. I have to speak this to you. But in Yeshua's name, I rebuke, curse, and cast down everything you try to put on me and send it back to you 10 times over. Him. So you're not letting me put that on you? Me. No, I'm not. Him. Well, I'm not saying you have belly issues now, but in the future. Me. Look, you're trying to do it again. In Yeshua's name, I rebuke, curse, and cast down what you're trying to put on me, and I send it back to you 10 times over. Him. Wow. So you're not letting me put anything on you? Most people just let me put things on them and accept it. Me. I'm not most people. I'll stand here all day and rebuke you until your family comes to pick you up if I have to. Him. Well, your faith must be strong. Me. It is. Him. Well, what church do you go to? Me. I'm a Hebrew Israelite. Y'all, when I say this man's entire demeanor changed, he went right back to talking about his family and acted as if that entire conversation did not just happen. That 100% was a conversation with that demon inside of him. Next day, 12:26, I wake up. And I'm just still in awe of Yah and how good he is. I'm so thankful for his power to return curses. I started thinking about how I am late this month. I take a test, it's negative. I realized that I need to stop trying to plan everything, let Yah do his will. I pack up stuff that her older son, Al Grew, gifted it away, truly gave it away, and just let go of her plan. 12:28, that's 2 days later, she gets baptized. And before I get in the water, I hear, if you stop trying to take control, I will give you the desires of your heart. And whoa, hearing that just gave me even more affirmation that he is so good. 12:29, I go to work. I have a normal work day. 12:30, wake up with an overwhelming feeling to take another pregnancy test. And it was positive. And I'm bawling, and my husband and I are in awe of how good Yah is. I kept thinking back to fourth day when that wicked man was trying to curse me and how Yah helped me. Okay, so I'm at work on 1-8, this is January 8th, and another nurse calls out needing the IV kit in room 21. I tell her I'll bring it to her. I walk in the room, and I'm shocked. You guys, it is the same man that tried cursing me. He looked like an ass. Confused, nausea, vomiting, diarrhea for over a week. His son had found him in his house confused, lying in his poop. Liver enzymes and labs were all elevated and messed up. I looked at him and said, you don't remember me, do you? I remember you. I had you down in room 26 on the 25th of last month. His eyes gave me this quick little evil look, almost like it was a demon trying to glare at me for a brief moment. And I sat the kit down and I walked out of the room. I just started praising Yah and thanking him for protecting me and letting me see the intricate details of all that he had his hand in the last 2 weeks. I never truly understood what Pastor meant about this dead season being so bad. But seeing all that I have this past few weeks has given me so much more insight to spiritual warfare and just how real all of it really is. I'm so thankful Yah let me see his plan and it shocked me just how detailed and involved in our lives he is. I'm so thankful for all the sisters and saints that we know and a pastor who is bold and stands in Yah's words. I'd rather be told the truth and grow in the walk than be lied to like other religions. I thank you for everyone who helps feed us information, and most of all, the Most High Yah. Glory to Yahweh. Jennifer?
Hallelujah. Sister Ashley, and you know, the thing that wasn't shared in the letter, this guy had been diagnosed with hepatitis, I believe. So he tried to speak these curses on our sister, and these curses were returned, and, you know, this guy ends up back in the hospital with hepatitis. So I just wanted to say that, you know, this letter is really, really encouraging, as all the other letters were as well, because this sister is truly exercising her faith in such a way that, you know, is so very rare, but it shouldn't be rare among us, because we belong to the Most High Yah. So she's not been around for years and years, y'all. She's pretty new to the ministry, but she listens, and she is doing it. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah, beautiful. Let's blow a little trumpet. Let's blow a loud trumpet. Hallelujah, the power of his name that we can all walk in. Beautiful. So I got one question that we're going to answer and call it a night. That's it. We'll see how long the answer goes, though. So the question comes, you know, most of our questions, honestly, are all common, meaning like they always come back around. Whatever you can formulate and think to ask, somebody's already asked it most of the time. And so those scenarios, or, you know, the answers that you give, you get to see the fruit come from it. You get to see the experience out of it. And then you get to answer it again. And you get to see it over and over and over again. So this is a question concerning sisterhoods and relationships between women. And the question was, how do you know when to separate from a sister? How do you know when or how? Or really, I wish I'd wrote it down because it was on my phone. I didn't bring my phone. So I'm going to take y'all back to a thought really quickly as we answer this. As I said earlier, that the Most High Yah judges the thought and the intent of your heart. That's not just me speaking loose words to you. It is so very sincere. He judges your thought and he judges your intent. You must become a judger of your thoughts and your intentions. You must wonder why you want a separation, okay? You must be able to answer that, because your heart will deceive you. Coming from failed relationships in a treacherous society where there's no endurance and there's no wisdom and there's no love that conquers all, you don't know how to function in a relationship where you don't feel connected, or you don't feel like you love her, or you don't want to be around her, or all the petty issues of life. So you come to the faith and that pettiness is still in you. You know, it's easy to walk away. It's easy to have unforgiveness. It's easy to not like her or her or her because she's like me, or because she's dramatic, or whatever you may label her for. And so you truly don't know what a separation is supposed to be like or look like. So that's must first be established, because if I give you an answer that comes from a mature or experienced heart, but you misapply it or you separate yourself from women thinking that your intention is the same as why I would, then you're judged for that. Jennifer?
Yes, ma'am, Sister Ashley. You know, the intent of anything is very, very important. And just like Sister Ashley said, you know, are you speaking from your own emotions when you talk about separating from a sister? Is it a final separation that you're speaking of? You know, or is it that you need to separate yourself for a time so that you can do what you need to do to deal with yourself in a particular area? So we've been so trained as women to, like she said, to not endure, to not trust. I think of living communally. You know, when you live communally and you're living in the same home with a sister, you don't really have an option to separate yourself from another sister that you live with. So you have to learn how to live with one another and how much access you're going to give that sister of yourself, you know. But it really takes a very mature mind and a very mature heart to be able to dwell with another sister who, you know, there have been things that have happened between you two that really need to be worked out. And then are you wanting to separate without resolving any of these things? Have you tried to resolve anything? So there's a lot of questions, I guess, that are unanswered. There's a lot of answers that we don't have, but we're throwing out things that are common among women, common in the ways that women think, because it's not just, you know, a black or white area. We really have to know more, but we want to speak to the mindset of women to make sure that there's no, you know, just because you're bitter, you want to separate. That's not how it works. Sister Ashley?
Very good. So, you know, the word talks about how they forsook the way, or how they went out from us because they weren't of us. And that's a verse to meditate on, because that's a physical separation. As she said, living in a community home, you have no physical separation, so you have to deal with things. So a physical separation is not healthy, period, in the faith. It's not. It doesn't matter what your relationship roles are one to another, a physical separation is not healthy. So you must question that and wonder why it's there, okay? So that I would never give anyone advice to do. Typically, if there has to be a physical separation, we're going to take that higher than myself, or maybe even higher than Jennifer, okay? So that is a little, you know, an answer, I guess you can say. It can be a whole show, but that's an answer to just satisfy that thought for a moment. So that's the physical separation side of it. So when it comes to separating yourself, or what I am referring to, when you begin to learn one another and you begin to manifest love, love is not going to trigger one another. So if you know someone's weakness, or if you know what they don't like, or maybe what challenges them, or what even tempts them to sin, honestly, you wouldn't feed into that. So if you have those things, and someone else might have those things, you're not going to have that dialogue or conversation that's going to lead to frustration or irritation. If there are people who complain or are negative, you're not going to involve yourself with them. That doesn't mean there's a physical separation. That means in your heart, you're going to discern that that environment is going on, and you're just not going to be a part of it. But when you walk away with maturity, you are not affected. Your love is not affected. Your mercy and your compassion is not affected. There's not gossip in you, or slander in you, or accusations in you towards them. There's no, let me go run, tell somebody else what they said, right? Because you've made yourself just like what you say you hate. I'm giving that example because when you see someone or see what you hate in someone, you have to see it in you. And the more mercy and the more you judge your intention of how you speak and how you act and why you do what you do, then you're going to have more mercy on her. So there's going to be you know, as I learn women and sisters, my relationships are manifested differently because I know how far I can or cannot go in certain areas. I know who I can play with, who I can't. I know who I may be able to gently correct or admonish, and I know who I can't. I know who is jealous. I know who despises. I know who loves. But that comes from a lot of mistakes, a lot of experience. It comes from a lot of judging my own heart, my own self, and it comes from a sincere desire of wanting to manifest love. Never wanting to separate and never wanting to, you know, wish someone ill will. Early on, as y'all have always heard me say, I could have took people's heads off, for real, and would have had no problem doing it. Like, if somebody just gave me the green light, like, she's out, I'm done with her, you know what I mean? And now, it's nothing like that. So that's what I mean by that transformation process of, I was like that in the world. Like, I could walk away from a relationship and not care, right? I had to blow up with a friend or a woman that you didn't like, a girl, I should say, at the time. There was no care. If you ever even saw her, like, okay, I don't like her. But here, it's not like that because love endures all. And so when there's somebody that you don't like, you should get to the bottom of why. You should get to the bottom of why you don't like her really quickly. Like, before Passover. Jennifer?
And more than likely, the reason that you don't like her is because there's something in you that has not been dealt with. So if there's someone that, you know, who you believe is controlling, you know, then there may be a level of control in you that you haven't dealt with. We always see the thing that we hate in others, but it really is something in ourselves that we haven't dealt with. It may just be a matter of you learning, like Sister Ashley said, that each sister is different. You know, some are, you're going to rub some the wrong way, and some are going to rub you the wrong way, but it's because you haven't learned one another, and you haven't learned how to relate to other sisters. Everybody is not going to be exactly the way that you are. So we have to learn how to get along, and we have to really learn how to love one another without just walking away and without just throwing our hands up and giving up. And we really need to be thankful that Yah hasn't done that to us. Sister Ashley?
Very good point. We don't want anyone else to ever be like us. No, not even one person. And so that is buried inside of you when there's a contentious relationship. There's always, 100% of the time, a control issue. You're in some way trying to control your environment or your day or your outcome, and she's the same way. So the control goes back and forth, whether it's fighting, arguing, aggressive, or passive, and that wall stays there. So whether she ever deals with what, in your eyes, meets your requirements, you have to meet a certain requirement, and that's maturity. Maturity is not engaging in the things that she may say that lures you into conversations of contention or division. Maturity is saying, I see it, I notice it, it doesn't bother me or control me. I hope that makes sense, my sisters, because there's so much to learn in relationships. You can look at the sisters in your environment and say, I'm not going anywhere, and they're not either. They're not either. So now what? Like Gideon said, when there were racist men right beside of him in the military, he still had to be willing to take bullets for. Like, really? Do we understand what kind of mind and strength it takes? Because in the world, outside of the military, I ain't got to put up with you at all, you know? But in Christ, we really, each one of us having the goal to make it to the kingdom, each one of us realizing that Yah is showing us who we really are. And in the midst of all that, we're going to see ourselves in someone else. That's just part of the journey. So what should a healthy relationship feel like? Well, some of you have them. Some of you have healthy relationships, so you know there's that total vulnerability, that laughter, that no offense, that I can say anything friendship, right? But then on the other hand, when you have a different situation and you know your limitations, then keep your limitations. Be mature about it, because don't think that all your relationships have to be the same, because it'll keep you bound. It'll keep you acting in control. Like, okay, well, I can't do this to that sister, and I can't say that to her, and I don't be like that. Just don't do it, right? You know your limitations? Don't go past them. That's all. Don't have a bitterness or an offense about it or anything. Just don't embark in those conversations that are going to eventually lead both of you to contention and somehow repenting later. Jennifer?
Right. Sister Ashley, and it just takes a great level of maturity to know your sister on the level of, you know, okay, she's going down this particular path and it does not seem as if it's a righteous path, then you have to learn how to steer the conversation back to righteousness. But you don't need to add on to that. You know, you don't need to make that conversation contentious. You don't need to add to it at all. If there comes a moment when you just need to walk away or separate yourself for a moment, then you need to do it in a mature way and not just say, you know, I'm done with you. I don't want to talk to you anymore. You know, that's not what the Most High has called us to. Now, if somebody is being, if they've been damaging to you, if they're very damaging to you emotionally or whatever you want to call it, then you need to find the trigger points within you. Okay, why am I hurt by this person? Why are they able to trigger me to the point of being hurt like this? Why am I allowing myself to be controlled like this? What is in me? So you always ask yourself about you. You never point the finger at the other person, because if you deal with you, you deal with yourself, you get the deliverance that you need, then you're going to be able to move on. But as long as you're pointing the finger at the other person, oh, she's always, you know, she's always being mean or malicious to me or whatever. You're always saying, or, you know, why is she always doing me like this? Why is she always rejecting me like this? Why is she always controlling me? This is, you know, it's not about her. It's about you every single time. When you make it about you, then Yah can intervene. He can deal with you, and then he can fix anything else that needs to be fixed. Sister Ashley?
So there are conversations that I avoid to this day. You'll never know it. There are things that I will never say, never talk about, and never engage in with other people. You'll never know it. Okay? And you will become that person. You can become that person. And what I mean is, you won't be radiating such a spirit of dishonor or disrespect or confusion or trying to affect the whole environment just because you don't like a conversation. Any man have faith, let him have it unto himself. So you want to avoid a conversation, avoid it. You can still sit there or you can get up, right? But is there anyone that I don't love? No. Is there anyone that I avoid their phone calls? Yes. But I wouldn't suggest that you do. If you haven't had years of experience of discerning or understanding a person's intentions of why she is trying to call or what she's trying to get out of you, or if she's just going to waste your time and not obey your words, etc. You don't have that yet. You really don't. And you need to know where you're at spiritually. So if the Father's requiring you to answer her call every time she calls, answer it, right? Because he's going to judge my intention of avoiding it, and he's going to judge your intention of avoiding it, and I bet we don't have the same. So y'all understand that there's just differences in where we're at, in our discernment, in our understanding, and if he's requiring you to communicate with his sister, to love her, to endure her, to give to her, to do right to her, no matter how much she doesn't do right to you, that does sound like something our Yah would do. Because I've been put in that situation so many times until I was ready to, like, manifest. I'm ready to, like, punch a wall. Like, why the hell I gotta be the one? You know what I mean? Why me? Because I'm trying to shape you. And when I'm before Yah, she ain't gonna be there. She's doing right by him and whatever requirement that, you know, he has for her. So our requirements are different. Our expectations are different. All in the same mind and spirit, though. All in the same mind and spirit. So it's often complicated, or I should say challenging, to answer a question like this, because you have to, when I am sitting in front of the sister, I can ask a few more personal questions to get to the intention of why you want to know. Like, is there someone in your life that you believe you need to separate from? I don't need to know her name. I don't even need to know your circumstance. I'm just going to be able to discern how to direct you. But if you're talking to this many people in an open format, you can't give a black or white answer. You can't say, yes, avoid her, because, you know, she's not like us. You know, Jennifer?
You know, Sister Ashley, the Father knows how to put us together in such a meticulous way. He knows who to pair us up with to provoke what is in us, so that we can become righteous. And so, you know, we always think that it's, you know, we want to blame somebody else, but it really is just Yah's will going forward so that we can be righteous. It's nothing other than that, that he wants us to be righteous, and he wants to provoke us to righteousness. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. And to end it with his explanation of, you know, you're like whitewashed tombs, which outwardly you indeed look well, but inside you're filled with dead men's bones and full of uncleanness. You know, you are outwardly indeed appear righteous to men, but inside you, you're filled with hypocrisy and lawlessness. And with that state of mind, especially in your early journey with Christ, you cannot pick which way you should go. You have to be guided and directed. Because I would have always picked to, like, take a head off. You know, because I was full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. I had no endurance in me. Like, why I gotta endure this? Like, for real, it's so much easier just to cut her off. You know, like, why? Man, if y'all could, I'm telling you, if y'all could see my prayer closet, oh, Father Jesus. And I hope yours, my sisters, I hope your prayer closet is the same way. Because I really, really, as many of you are, we're just trying to get right, right? We're just trying to get clean. So, Elder Becker did a really good video, and then we reposted on our channel about, you know, just being ready for Passover. And we talk about it every year. We're going to continue to talk about it every feast as we prepare ourselves always for the Feast of Yah. So don't let that bore you. Don't let it bother you, because we're always going to go from grace to grace, glory to glory, and faith to faith. And we're always going to be trying to get clean, always. And so from now until Passover, really reflect on your relationships. And as I said, your relationships don't have to be full of fun, friendly roses. If there is an example of two or three sisters in your fellowship or around you that are really close to one another and you just don't fit in, don't go by your feelings. Don't be led by your feelings. It's okay. They could have something very righteous going on and you're on the outside. And because you're on the outside, it feels like it's not righteous. And so accusation is easy to be there present in your mind, you know. It's okay to not fit in with every little what you may call clique, you know. It's okay to see two women, best friends, side by side, and you not be their best friend. It's okay. So you let go of the jealousies and you let go of the assumptions and accusations and just get your mind really clear and prepare yourself for Yah, to see him, to be with him. And you come to Passover, and if you're not ready, you're going to stand out. You're going to stand out, not because we're looking. We're never looking the crowd over to see who's not been obedient. But your countenance is going to be darkened. Your eyes, your face is going to be fallen. Your walk, you're going to be condemned because you knew what you were supposed to do all year long. And Elder Becker's video was just really good, y'all, to have you reflect on your alts with your brothers and sisters. Not that you don't have any uncomfortableness and that you don't, that you're not best friends with everybody. That's not the goal. The goal is love. Jennifer?
You know, Sister Ashley, when you look at mature relationships between women, like if you come to, I'm just going to use Straightway Georgia for an example. When you come to Straightway Georgia, and you see the relationships between the women, we have good relationships here. It's not always full of just, you know, hugs and laughs and, you You know, sometimes there are times when it could look uncomfortable. It can be uncomfortable for you because we're talking about issues as they come up. We don't avoid things. You know, we talk things through. We confront one another. When it's time to hug each other, we do that. When it's time to laugh, we do that as well. But we just don't avoid anything. We actually just deal with it. And it can be uncomfortable because society, this American society, does not teach you that. You know, they teach you to be fake and to act as if everything is okay. But then behind closed doors, you're talking about your sister. No, we don't do that at all. So it may be uncomfortable, but we're actually dealing with things as they come. Sister Ashley.
Hey, I was I just turned around to say, how many weeks until Passover? 6. And Chef's like, no, 5. So this is the end of February. I got one more month of school. That's so exciting. I've been telling the sisters here, Jennifer, how many days I got left in school since I started. I mean, you can tell it's like, oh, I'm just funny. I'll be like, we're halfway through, y'all. Oh, I got 3 more months, y'all. It's just, I'm just funny. So I know, you know what? I know enough about me to where I know what would challenge others about me. When you know somebody else and you know your sisters, you know the thing in you that challenges them. Sometimes they may have verbalized it or showed it on their countenance, or sometimes it's just because you've just been around them and you know. So I even try not to manifest that part of me around them. Now, that's deep if you think about it, because I don't have to do that, right? I don't have to do that. But I just don't, I'm trying to be lowly in character. And to be lowly, as Tomoko had once taught me, was in other countries, to be lowly was to never talk over each other, you know, but to always talk under. But you see it concretely like that. When you go to one another and you deal with one another, are you talking over or under? You know, are you listening or are you not? You know, it just takes some time. I encourage y'all because I know what it's like. I know, you know, the growing pains of it. I know how much you can hate what you see in yourself, et cetera. But I also know what it's like to come to this appreciation of who you are in Christ and the things that you are just you. You know, it's not spirits, it's not demons, it's just you. And so the things about you that would challenge others, that's just the part of me that others have to endure, you know. Got a new caller from Kentucky. Any thoughts, Jennifer, before I answer the call?
No, Sister Ashley, I think you said it well. We can go with the call.
Okay. I got a question in the background over my shoulder. I hear you. We'll get to you maybe. All right, let me go to this caller. Hallelujah. I got an awesome crew behind me. Okay. Mm-hmm. Kentucky. Bless you, Kentucky. Area code 270. You live? 270, did you intentionally mean to talk to us or press 1?
Shalom, Sister.
I'm so sorry. Hold on.
How managed to call in?
Hi. Please repeat who you are. It was me, and I accidentally hit the mute button. Go ahead.
This is Sister Renee. Shalom. We accidentally called in.
Hi, Renee, and everybody who's listening Shalom. To the accidenters. Bless y'all. Shalom.
Bless you.
Tina, my Tina. Renee, my Renee, hallelujah. She wants an example of talking over or talking under. You know, majority of our conversations, Jennifer, it just depends. It really, truly depends. Like, watch this. Why are you laughing? I'm asking you a question now. You're live on Sister to Sister, Jennifer. Why are you laughing?
I'm laughing because I think of conversations that Sister Ashley and I have with one another. You know, when Sister Ashley and I talk, there's no disrespect at all. But we get so excited when we finally get on the phone with one another, and we're both trying to, you know, tell a story or tell what's going on in our lives or what y'all is doing, And we're both talking over each other, and then we just stop and we laugh, and then we're like, okay, you go first, you go first. And then she's like, well, you go first. And then we both start talking again at the same time. So it's just so funny. But we understand the intent that we have of each other. We're not disrespecting each other. We truly are excited. So
very good. And like right before the show, when we haven't talked all week long, and she's like, hey, what are we going to talk about? And the music's about to start. And I'm like, go ahead. She's like, you go ahead. And we both say, go ahead. And we both start talking over each other. That's not what I'm talking about when I mean, you know, practicing being lowly. That's depending upon your conversation and upon your friend or sister that you're talking to. So if we're in an atmosphere where it's very welcoming to if you saw our Marco Polo video today where we're all cutting off each other, you know, where we're all fighting to say the funny thing, that's smooth. That's cool. You know, that's nothing wrong with that. I'm meaning in a one-on-one environment, I'm meaning when maybe you're getting corrected, maybe you're not. Maybe you came for answers for deliverance, or maybe you're talking just in general about a testimony about Christ, or it's usually on a one-on-one basis, you know, that you're talking to someone else, and that's when you're able to practice your lowliness, where you know when it's time to speak, and then you know when you need to listen, and you're just practicing those skills at those times. Depending on some of my sisters, too, I understand who I speak too fast for. And I'll catch myself talking too fast because most of the time it's on their countenance, you know, or they might say it like slow down, or they might look like I missed every damn thing you just said. You know, so you learn your sisters. And so I realized with those individuals, I cannot be me. Who's me? I talk fast, move fast, whatever. So I got to slow down for them. And that's okay. I think it would be very selfish and disrespectful to not change who you are for each person. Because you're trying to represent Christ. You know, Christ came down to talk to the children. He rebuked the disciples. He prayed to Yah, you know. So there's different manifestations of who you can be depending on. And Mother said it best, you know. She knows each person for who they are. And so she's not going to even correct the same way. Or, you know, what she might say to Tammy might break Tammy for the next 2 weeks. And then she's got to hit me between my eyes or whatever. But then she also knows my weakness in the area where she can't say things a certain way without affecting me for the next 2 weeks, you know? So you learn each other. You learn to speak lowly. You learn, you know, the weaknesses of one another, and you're led by just the righteousness of Yah. Jennifer?
Yes, ma'am. Again, it's all about maturity. It takes a great level of maturity to be able to discern your sisters and you know, well, Pastor always has taught that discernment isn't about discerning what is evil. It's about learning how to discern the good in others as well. So it's not about focusing on the negative, but it's focusing on the strengths, the positive, you know, the character strength that your sisters have, excuse me, and learning how you can continue to strengthen them as well. Sister Ashley?
Very good. I got another phone call. I'm going to you, Virginia, North Carolina. But before I do, I'll just say that if you have the mindset that you are the same person to everyone, then that can be wrong. I'll give you an example. If you're meek and humble, if you're Tammy to everyone, you're clear. You know, if you're Erica Polidor to everyone, you're clear. You know, those who are like, you know, they're not going to shout at you, point your finger, blame you for control, accuse you, manifest on you. They're just, you know, streamlined, stable saints. So you're clear. But if you're the type of person that fluctuates somewhere between aggressiveness and passiveness, and you know your manifestations, you know your issues, you've potentially manifested masculinity, you know, whatever your character is, then you can't be the same to everybody. You can't. And if you have the mindset that you can, then you're wrong. If you have the mindset that says, well, she can just get offended, I don't give a damn, you're wrong. Because what you might have said was full truth, but you and how you said it, you knew you would destroy her. You knew it would affect her, and you're wrong. So we're going to Could it really be, Sister Bridget? Could it really be? Let's see. Area code 540.
Oh my God.
540 is having a fun time. 540, bless y'all, every one of you laughing and listening and tuning in. Y'all didn't know that you pressed one, or maybe you did, but you didn't hear me call you. All right, Jennifer, end the show.
Search me, O Yahweh, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Shalom.
I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding.